If you would, this morning, turn over to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, verses 10 and 12. Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 12. And if you would stand for the honor of reading God's word. It says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God, so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this day. We thank you that we're able to come together, Lord, to lift your name on high this morning. We thank you that we're able to come to worship you in word and in song. Lord, we just pray for those that are not able to be with us today. Pray for Brother David and Lori as they travel, to give them traveling mercies. Allow them to spend time together with family, Lord, and to strengthen each other and to draw strength from you. Lord, I pray today that your word will speak to us, that we'll apply it to our hearts and our lives, that we can be in better service for you. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Paul opens this verse here in verse 10, is finally. Ephesians is one of my favorite books in the New Testament. There's a lot to be found and studied and applied to our lives in the book of Ephesians. The first chapters 1 through 3 describes the true Christian. And chapters 4 through 6 describes the faithful life of the true believer. And Paul, towards the end of this, at the end of this letter that he wrote to the church of Ephesus, as well as to all the churches in us, knew too often what it was like to be in spiritual warfare. You know, the faithful Christian lives a life of battle, don't we? A life of constant warfare. We battle temptations, we battle the flesh, we battle sin, and we battle a real, living, and powerful enemy, don't we? It's hard enough facing and battling the things that we can see, that we can feel and we can touch. We have a hard enough time trying to overcome the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life without trying to battle the things that we cannot see. And as Paul ends this letter, this is what he's talking about. You know, the Christian life, like I said, is a life of battle. You know, Jesus was faced right off the bat with his arch enemy. Satan himself, the book of Luke, chapter 4, verse 2, says that he was took into the wilderness for 40 days and tempted by the devil. Satan never let up on him, did he? Wherever Jesus went, wherever he went, preached, Satan was right there behind him with evil men wanting to stone him, wanting to kill him, wanting to destroy everything that he had taught and everything that he had said. Satan didn't never let up. He entered into Judas when Judas betrayed him. He was no doubt there in the Garden of Gethsemane when Jesus Christ was sweating great drops of blood because he was in agony. Satan knew how to get on his nerves, but yet he never succeeded. You know, the Christian life doesn't get any easier with time, does it? The more we seek after the things of the Lord Jesus Christ, the more that we abide in the Lord Jesus Christ, the more that we get to know him through his word, through prayer, It seems as though the struggle gets worse and worse. When we do what God's Word tells us to do, when we witness, when we preach, when we do the right things, the enemy's always there. You know, with great victories come great struggles, doesn't it? We can look throughout God's Word of great men of God. Man who has been up on top of the mountain one minute and down in the valley the next. And we can see how Satan, from the very beginning, when he tempted Eve, has never let up. John MacArthur says a Christian who no longer has to struggle against the world, the flesh, and the devil is a Christian who has fallen into sin or is complacent. A Christian who has no conflict is a Christian who has given up or retreated from the front line of service. And as Paul was writing this letter to Ephesus, he was no doubt speaking from personal experience. Over in the book of Acts, I think it's chapter 19, tells the story of Paul as he ministered to the Ephesian church there. Paul had led some of the followers of John the Baptist to come to know the Lord. He was able to teach in the synagogues. He was able to teach in the school of Tyrannus. He led many Jews and many Gentiles to the Lord Jesus Christ. It says over there that there were many miracles being performed through the hands of Paul. It says that those who were practicing witchcraft and magic were out there burning their books, and that they were growing mightily and prevailing in the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. And with all the good things that was going on, yet there was a very evil present there that it tells us about also. While Paul was in Ephesus, he faced persecution from the Jews. They tried to run him off. He was being mocked by false apostate teachers and exorcists. He was being threatened by Demetrius and the other silversmiths there. He was being threatened because he had disrupted their income. They were false idol makers. They depended upon that money to make a living, and Paul had come in and shared the good news, and they were losing business, and so they decided to attack him. While Paul was in there at Ephesus, he wrote to the Corinthians. And in Corinthians 16, 8 and 9, he tells them, "I will remain in Ephesus until Pentecost, for a wide door for effective service has been opened to me. But there are many adversaries." Even though the door had been opened to Paul and many were coming to know the Lord, many miracles were taking place, the enemy was right there behind him, always trying to attack. And you know, if Paul has a hard time being followed by the enemy, God's angels, his own messengers, fought also. They face opposition from the real enemies and Satan. In Daniel 10:13, it tells us that there's a messenger of God that had came to Daniel, and he told him, "For 21 days I've been trying to get to you, but your prayer was hindered by the prince of Persia. And it wasn't until Michael came and helped defeat him that the prayer got through." Over in Jude 9, it says that Michael fought Satan himself over the body of Moses. Satan is our enemy. He's a real enemy. He is strong, he is powerful, and he's always on the move. You know, Satan is going about in the world today just like he did in the garden. He does not come wearing a red suit with horns and a pitchfork, does he? He comes in things that we take for granted. He comes in things that we're comfortable with. He comes in places we're used to going. And He comes in the things that we take pleasure in sometimes. Satan knows how to attack. He knows how to make us fall. And He knows them well. And Paul gives us a warning right here about the enemy that we face on a daily basis. He says here, be strong in the Lord. He tells us to be strong in the Lord. You know, to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, we have to admit that we're sinners, don't we? To be strong in the Lord, we have to admit that we're weak. We live in a society that puts a lot of strength, or it puts a lot of faith in how strong we are. You know, everywhere you turn, you go to the self-help section of any bookstore, and there's just hundreds, if not thousands, of books telling us how you can do things, and you got to pull the power that's within. But God's Word is clear that there's nothing that's in our flesh that's powerful or strong. We're not only physically weak, but we're weak emotionally. We are weak in the way we reason. We are weak in the way we think. We're weak in our spirits. We're weak in our temptations and our sin. We're weak when it comes to controlling our own will. And we need someone to come along beside us to help us in our weak selves. The strength we need to walk in victory in the battles of life, the strength that we need to overcome that's within us, is to be strong in the Lord. The only way we can be strong in the Lord comes with a relationship in the Lord Jesus Christ. Like I said, this means that just as we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ to save us from our sin, we must trust Him to give us the spiritual power that we so desperately need in our lives. Just as His blood makes us righteous, just as His blood makes us able to stand before an almighty God, we need His power. We need to be strong in the Lord. To be able to be strong in the Lord, we're given the strength of His might, it says, and in the strength of His might. You know, Paul had been telling us here in the book of Ephesians that when we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, we're made one with Him. That means that our life has been placed in Him, that His life becomes our life. His truth becomes our truth. His way becomes our way. His strength becomes our strength. You know, I'm glad this morning that Christ has already defeated Satan. We often forget that, don't we? When the war is raging, when we're down and out, when we're tired and when we're weak, we often fail. We often fall and we don't stand and be strong in the Lord and use the strength that is in His might. The strength that will help us overcome our daily battles that we face. You know, Timothy was struggling as he ministered. And if you read about great preachers and great men of God, Charles Haddon Spurgeon comes to mind. One of the greatest preachers that ever has lived. Struggled with depression his whole life. Satan was constantly attacking that man and on. But over in the book of 2 Timothy, Timothy was struggling also with these things. He was feeling down. He was feeling defeated. Paul had to remind him who he was and that he had to be strong, and the power to do so come from the Lord Jesus Christ. In 2 Timothy 1, 6 through 9, it says, "For this reason I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us the spirit of timidity, but the power and love and discipline. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which is granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity. In 2 Timothy 2:1, he says, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Paul knew that he was weak. Paul knew that in his own flesh he was not able to stand, but he knew that in the power and the might of the Lord Jesus Christ, he was able to overcome all things. Philippians 4:13, as our young people shared with us last week, says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Paul acknowledged that. In 2 Corinthians 2:14, he says, "But thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place." In Romans 8:37, he says, "But in all things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us." In 1 Corinthians 15:57, it says, "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." We're called to be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Verse 11 says, "Put on the full armor of God." Put on the full armor of God, it says, in order that we can take advantage of the strength that has been provided to us through the might of the Lord Jesus Christ. We must put that armor on. And what it's saying is we must not put it on and take it off, but we're to put it on permanently. We're not to take it off when the battle is over. It's not like a game where we're fighting 1 minute and then we're not the next. We're constantly at war. We're constantly fighting a spiritual battle. Over in 2 Corinthians 10:3 and 4, Paul reminds us that we walk not in the flesh and that we do not war according to the flesh. He says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of forces. Now, I'm not going over the armor this morning. That's going to be part two here in a couple of weeks. But in looking over the armor, and I trust that you'll read through that, the armor that is given to us mimics that of a Roman soldier. After all, Paul was chained to one while he was writing this letter. And there's no doubt that he drew a contrast between the two. It says, "Put on the whole armor, the full armor of God, so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil." Verse 11 says that we're to stand firm. I always like what Pastor Woody has said when he's preached on this passage, and I wrote it in my old Bible, and I've always remembered it. He says the problem that most Christians have is not putting on the armor, is that they put the armor on the wrong side. They arm the backside of their bodies with the pew that's in the churches. Isn't that right? We come in here on Sundays, we sit in the pew. While we're here, we don't let anything bother us most of the time. We're on that high mountain. But when we leave those doors and we go out into the world, we oftentimes leave that armor right there in that pew, don't we? Doesn't do anybody any good. You know, it's hard to push somebody over from the front side, isn't it? It's hard to push somebody over when they're standing firm. But buddy, it sure is easy to walk up behind somebody and kick them over when their back's to you, aren't they? And that's what Satan does to us. He knows he's been defeated. He knows it's over for him in the long run. But when we're being attacked, we're to stand firm. We're in the Lord. We have His power. We have His strength. We're to be strong in the Lord. And we're to put on the armor and to stand firm. If we're in the Lord Jesus Christ, like I said earlier, and we're made one with Him, then why should we run when Satan comes our way? Why should we arm the backside of ourselves instead of the front side and face him head on? The reason we need the strength that comes from having the full armor of God is because, like I've said, we face the real enemy of God, and that is Satan. Because Satan is God's enemy, because Satan knows there's no way for him to get at God, the only way he can try to defeat God is to try to go through us. And we can be sure that he does, and that he will attack us in all that we do. And he does so with schemes and evil things. The word that's used here of schemes, in the King James Version, is wiles, is also the same word that's used for methods. Satan knows how to trick us, don't he? This word here implies like an animal who stalks his prey, who silently walks from behind, who sits on the branch and looks down upon an innocent victim, who then unexpectedly pounces in for the kill of the prey. Satan, with his schemes, started off in the book of Genesis in the Garden of Eden, didn't he? With Eve. Satan will not stop until he's cast into the lake of fire. Like I said earlier, he knows he's lost the battle. He knows he's been defeated. After all, his demons even acknowledged to the Lord Jesus Christ when he begged them to cast them into the swine that this is not their time. They know where they're ending up. He knows that one day he's going to be no more, but he wants to destroy as many of us as he can on our way. There's Satan not only wants to destroy God, he wants to destroy all the things of God, doesn't he? He wants to destroy our doctrines. He wants to destroy our testimonies. He wants to destroy our families, our marriages, our churches, our children. He wants to destroy everything that God has given to us. And this is our enemy. He is ancient. He is powerful. He is deceptive. And he's very real. You know, today is Super Bowl Sunday. Now, I probably will not watch the Super Bowl this afternoon because I don't really keep up nor care about the NFL. But I do like football, and one of the things about football is they study the upcoming opponent that they're fixing to play. And take, for instance, the NFL. They play usually on Sundays. On Monday morning, whether they lose or whether they win, one of the first things they do is they start focusing on the team that they're going to play the next week. They look at their strengths. They look at their strategies. They look at their weaknesses. They look at the schemes and the plays that they have that's coming against them. And they prepare to fight on that 100-yard battlefield that we call football. And so, a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ should prepare, should know his enemy. You know, like I said earlier, Satan, he started off there with Eve. He came to Eve in the form of a serpent. He came to Eve in something she knew. She didn't have no reason to suspect anything. After all, she had been there in the garden with the things that God had created. But Satan kept coming in a deceptive way that he does. He put doubt in her mind, didn't he? He caused her mind to question what God had told him. He caused her to look and question those things that had to deal with the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And he's no different today, does he? When he took Jesus out into the wilderness for 40 days, what did he do? He used Scripture to try to tempt Jesus, but he misused it, didn't he? It didn't work. All too often, believers fall in the battle against Satan because he knows God's Word better than most of us do. And when I look and I see thousands of people being deceived by false teachers all over this country, it's easy to see what's going on. They're being deceived by the power that Satan has over the misuse of God's Word. You know, God's Word calls Satan a lot of things. He's called the god of this world, the prince of the power of the air. He's called a lion. He's called the great deceiver. He's called many names. The father of lies. Because that's what he is. We're not fighting some little two-bit enemy. We're fighting a force that is greater than anything that our little feeble minds can imagine. I think it would scare us to death if we could see what was going on around us in this room right now. And, you know, it's often... I often like to read and listen to stories of missionaries, and Dr. Miller had quite a few that he shared when I was growing up here and when he was here. But you know, missionaries, they go into these places that's a whole lot very different culture than ours is. And when Dr. Miller starts, or other missionaries, starts talking about these evil witch doctors and things that are just mind-boggling to us, we think, how does these people not know that Satan's behind some of this garbage? It's the same way we don't know what he's behind here in our country. We don't like to think that Satan uses our television. We don't like to think that Satan uses our entertainment. We don't like to think that he uses our money, that he uses our pleasure to try to defeat us, do we? Satan whispers in our ear through the sin that's in us that it's okay just to drink a little sip of that alcohol. It's okay to puff on that marijuana cigarette. He says it's okay just to read through the horoscopes to get your daily advice from. He says it's okay to do these things that just gets into our lives little by little, and little by little destroys us and takes our eyes off the Lord Jesus Christ and puts a focus on evil things. Don't be ignorant of who the enemy is. Don't be deceived by the pride that comes from putting our trust in ourselves. We have to be strong. We have to stand in the strength of His might. We have to be firm, stand firm with the full armor of God. You know, we have the Lord on our side, don't we, if we know Him? We're called to be strong. We're called to have the strength of His might. We're called to put on the full armor of God and not take it off. We're called to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. In verse 12, it says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places." Verse 12 here, it says struggles. It says in some versions, wrestles. And this refers to hand-to-hand combat. And in Paul's day, in Rome, there in the Colosseums and all around Rome, they would take these gladiators and men that would go in there and they would fight one another. And it wasn't a fight that we see today where a ref steps in and ends it. This was a fight to the death. Somebody was going to die. And this is what Paul is referring to. We struggle constantly and wrestle constantly. Not against flesh and blood, as Paul says, but against the trickery and deception, against the schemes of Satan. I think one of the ways that Satan destroys the church is to use the flesh and blood against us, don't he? It says here that flesh and blood is not what we struggle against. But all too often, and buddy, this is something that I think every believer struggles with. And we try to look at other people as our enemy, don't we? When we turn on the television and we see what the terrorists are doing, when we see them murdering innocent believers over there, when we see them blowing up innocent people, boy, it's easy to hate on them, isn't it? It's easy to look at them and tell you they deserve hell. We got to stop for a minute. And we got to realize that our struggle is not with them. It's not against the terrorists. It's not against the baby killers that are murdering thousands of babies across this country every day. It's not against the murderers and the rapists. It's not against the drug dealers and those that wish to persecute us. Our struggle comes from something that's far greater than that. And Satan uses this tactic above all to cause strife and grief among the brethren. You know, when we get mad and we lash out at people, we lose our light, don't we? Now, I'm not saying that we should not show people that they're lost and in need of a Savior. I'm not saying that we shouldn't stand up against all the evil things in the world. But I am saying that we shouldn't look at the people that's doing it as our enemy. They've got a power behind them that's far greater than anything that they can ever imagine. Yet we have the only thing, we have the message of the gospel that will show them people their ways and their error. Matthew 5:45, Jesus says, love your enemy and pray for those who persecute you. Proverbs 25:21 says, if your enemies are hungry, give them food. If they're thirsty, give them drink. One of the hardest things I believe that it is to do is to love somebody that hates you, isn't it? You know, I'm sure everybody here might have heard the story of Corrie Ten Boom. She was held as a prisoner. She was a Jew during World War II, held in the prison camps there in Germany. And after years of being out of that and becoming famous, she was speaking in an engagement one day, and one of the soldiers, the German army, one of the men there at the prison camp, who had tortured her family so bad, somebody that she knew very well, come up and wanted to shake her hand. And said she paused for a moment, and she extended her hand, and she said it was because the Lord Jesus Christ loved him, loved that man, that she was able to do that. We've got to remember when we see these evil things that's going on around us. When people at work try to destroy our reputation because they don't like us because of what we stand for, that they're not the enemy. We're to love them. We're to be a light in the darkness that they're in. We're to be an example of the love that the Lord Jesus Christ had to them. It says our struggle is against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of the darkness, against the spiritual forces and wickedness in the heavenly places. Satan and his minions, his dominion of and powers are not explained here. But there is categories and ranks involved in demonic activity that's given here for us. It shows how it's structure, excuse me. When it mentions here rulers, what it's saying that there's a high order of demons. These rulers are the inner circle that Satan has. His cabinet members. Those that he surrounds himself with. Very skilled and evil demons. When it refers to here of powers, it refers to ranks. Those are the ones that carries out the goals and purposes that Satan has. Might as well say they're his generals. They're the people that carries out the orders, that make sure that what he says is done. When it mentions here there's world forces of darkness, it's easy to see that this is the various political systems and how these demons operate. It's over certain areas of the world. Like I mentioned earlier, over in Daniel 10:13, when it talks about the prince of Persia, there was a demon there that was over that area. And there was a battle going on that Daniel couldn't see. And there's a battle going on right now that me and you can't see. Satan has these creatures in place. And they're strong and they're powerful. When he says spiritual against the darkness, against spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places, this involves the most wretched, the most vile, the most immoral type of demons. The power that's behind all the sexual perversion that's going on here in this country. It's behind all the occult, behind all the Satan worshiping, behind all the atheism that's going on. It's behind all of these evil things. But I'm glad this morning that we have power over that. That we are able to stand strong in the Lord Jesus Christ. That we're able to stand in the power of His might, the strength of His might. That He's given us the full armor to be able to take these forces on, to stand firm in. James 4:7 says that if we resist the devil, that he will flee from you. Over in the book of Colossians, love this verse, these couple verses. Colossians 1:13-14. He says, "For he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." Isn't that wonderful? We were once in darkness. We were in that power. We're part of the enemy's evil schemes. We were once there, just like those are there today. But we've been brought out of that domain of darkness. Over in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 18 through 23, Paul's reminding them, and he's wanting them to pray. He says, "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and in every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in one to come. And he put all things in subjection under his feet, and he gave him his head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all." I'm glad this morning that I've been placed into the body of Christ. That I have the full armor that it takes to stand. That I carry the strength of his might. That I can take on Satan when he heads my way. when he tries to take us down. If you're here this morning, if you're listening to this message at some time, and you don't know what it's like to be able to stand in the Lord, you need to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior this morning. You need to put your faith and your trust in Him to save us from our sins, to save us from our weakness, so that His righteousness will be able to allow us to stand before an almighty God. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this day. We thank You for Your Word. We thank You for what Your Word contains and all the things that we have in You. We thank You for the victory over sin that You achieved. Thank You for Your shed blood that allows us into the presence of the Father. Lord, I pray that as we go out through the week, we go to work, we go out into the world to witness, to share the gospel with those that are around us, that we do so being strong in the Lord, that we take the strength that is found in You, and that we put on the armor once and for all, and that we're able to stand against everything that Satan throws at us. Lord, I pray for these things, and I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.